Hey, welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Raymond Hatfield, and today we are going to continue on our year-long series on envisioning your photographic potential by highlighting February's focus, which is storytelling in photography. So, if you have ever wished that your photos had more life to them, if you ever wished that your images were more compelling to look at, if you wanted to stop taking snapshots, then this episode is going to be for you. It's all about storytelling in our images. You know, storytelling is so important in photography because photography is just a medium to tell a story. So the better that you are at telling stories, the more compelling your photos are going to be. You know, and one thing that I love about photography is that, like in life, not everything is black or white, good or bad. You know, there are a lot of gray areas. And with your camera, you can help shed light to those gray areas that you know are important to a broader story. So today, we're going to be covering what is storytelling in photography. What are the building blocks that you need to tell a story with your images? And I'm also going to share some exercises with you to help you enhance your storytelling skills. And I also have a challenge for you as well. And all of this is in the hope that you too can take your photos from snapshots to great shots, because that all of this right here is how you envision your photographic potential. Okay, that was the introduction. Now, to be clear, when I talk about storytelling, there are different takes on this. There's different variations of this, right? The documentary approach or the photojournalism approach is to tell the whole story in a single image. And that is it's a very difficult thing to do. And I think that's just because we, as humans, see a larger story. And the thing with photojournalism is that, like, there's also a story in written word that accompanies an image. So it's like, you can have a photo that is interesting, and then the text can fill in a lot of the context of what's going in to that photo. But that's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about is telling a whole story, not in a single frame, but a narrative story. So a story over multiple images, a series of images. You might ask yourself, like, why? Like, if, you know, there's so much focus in photography on an image, on the image, capture the moment, as if it's like a singularity, right? It's its own thing. But that isn't how stories necessarily work. Have you ever watched, like, a trailer for a movie and thought to yourself, like, what could possibly be happening, you know, right then and there for this thing to, so, okay, I'll just restart that whole thing. So every holiday season, our family, you know, we watch holiday movies, we watch Christmas movies, and, you know, cause you really only watch these movies like once a year, cause what kind of psycho watches like a Christmas movie in July? You know what I mean? One of the movies that we enjoy watching is Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger. So I went to go turn this movie on, and my daughter was like, hold on, before we watch the movie, I got to go to the bathroom. And I said, you know, okay, that's fine. So she goes to the bathroom. And while we're waiting, my son Charlie says, can we watch the trailer? So, because I kind of forgot what the movie's about, and I, you know, want a refresher. And I'm like, yeah, of course. So we start watching the trailer, and, you know, we're like some time in, and my daughter comes out of the bathroom, and she looks at the TV, and she sees Arnold Schwarzenegger being chased through a house by a reindeer. A reindeer should never be in a house, right? And here's Arnold being chased around the house. There's like a nativity scene, and one of the wise men is like on fire, and Arnold picks up, you know, this little statue and throws it out the window to extinguish it in the snow. And my daughter, like, that's all that she sees. And she's like, what is happening right now? Like, it was such a crazy scene to see. And that's just to prove that, like, a single clip can really only tell us so much, right? To tell the story that is a movie, you need multiple clips, and you got to put them together in an order that makes sense. So if we could tell a story in a single, you know, 30-second clip, everybody would be doing that. But there's some stories that can't be told in a single clip, or in our case, a single image. There are some stories that you need multiple images. You need a series of images to be able to tell the full story. And those are the stories that we're going to be talking about today. Those are the stories that I want to help you get better at telling. Because when you get better at telling narrative stories, you get better at seeing the world in story form. And when it comes time to, you know, just taking a single image, you're going to still look at it through the lens of story first, that the quality of the image, the all the elements that you put into the image are just going to be heightened. So you learn, you know, the basics of telling a story over multiple images, and then you can whittle that down to just a single image in the future if you want to. But today we're going to be talking about series of images in a narrative sense. All right. So we're going to cover, you know, everything today from, you know, obviously the essence of what is storytelling and photography. We're going to be talking about the building blocks that you need. Like, what are those elements that you need to tell a story in a photo? I'm going to give you an exercise, some ideas of stories that you can capture so that you can start to build that skill. I'm going to help you kind of with that mindset shift of one image versus multiple images. And then I got a challenge for you as well at the end. So as I talked about earlier, like, we've all seen photos, photojournalistic photos that can tell a story in a single image, you know, but again, that's not what we're talking about today. By the end of this, I want you to start thinking in terms of stories, as far as the who, the what, the when, where, why, and understand that you should be putting these photos together to build a bigger story than what you can with just a single image, to highlight the importance of story, of more than just a single photo, of more than just a single clip in a movie. There's a musical artist whose name is, or he goes by Atmosphere. I don't know how I became aware of this guy. I don't even know if it's a guy or a band or whatever, but one day I was listening to Spotify while mowing my lawn, and the song came on, and it stood out to me so strongly the first time that I heard the song, because you could just close your eyes and envision every single thing that he was talking about, because he was telling a story in the form of a song. So this artist, Atmosphere, has a song called Sunshine, and I encourage you to listen to it. I link to it in the show notes. Even if you just listen to the first 40 seconds, he paints such a clear and vivid image that, again, I can see in my head. I can see the things that he's talking about happen. And it's not like, you know, one line here, like, oh, that was interesting. And then another line over here, like, oh, okay, I see how those two are related. It's like he's recounting the day step by step. I have some of the lyrics here. I'm not going to sing them to you because I'm not going to embarrass myself like that. But he says, hey, Raymond here. If you're sometimes baffled by which camera settings to use, then I've got just the thing for you. My free guide, Picture Perfect Camera Settings. It's a fantastic starting point for anybody eager to understand the basics of camera settings in various shooting scenarios. And it's tailored to beginners who want to get out of auto mode, providing clear, easy-to-follow suggestions on where to start with your settings. So whether you're capturing a stunning landscape or a family portrait, Picture Perfect Camera Settings will help you to get off of automatic mode and explore the possibilities your camera offers. Remember, mastering photography settings is a journey, and this guide is your first step and the perfect resource to guide you towards finding the right settings for your style. So grab your copy today at perfectcamerasettings.com and start your journey to better photos.
Ain't no way to explain or say how painful the hangover was today. I think I need to smell fresh air, so I stepped out the back door and fell down the stairs. The sunlight hit me dead in the eye, like it's mad that I gave half the day to last night.
Now, those may not be the deepest or the most poignant lyrics, but when you close your eyes, you can imagine each step. You can imagine not only see the things, but you can also feel them. You know, when he says there's no way to explain how painful the hangover was today, like, maybe in your own life experience, you can put yourself back in that moment. You know, that need to smell some fresh air when you walk out the door and that sunlight, it hits you. You feel that, you know, and then to say that the sun was mad that I gave half the day to last night. You can connect to that. You relate to that. You're like, oh, now I got, you know, this whole half of my day is going to be wasted. It puts you in that scene. That's the story. You can feel it. You know? So again, I encourage you to listen to the whole song because I'm not doing it any justice. Again, I link to it in the show notes to where you can listen to it on Spotify. Again, it's the artist is Atmosphere and the song is called Sunshine. But what he's doing is he's building a narrative. He's telling you the story. So this is what we need to do in photography, right? These don't have to be stories of changing the world. This doesn't have to be a story of, saving the earth from an asteroid, you know, or something like monumentous. It can be much smaller than that. But every single story is at its core the exact same elements. Every single story needs a beginning, a middle, and an end. And we do that with a character, a setting, a conflict, and a resolution. To get all of those things is just impossible in a single photo because an entire story doesn't happen in an instant. You know, it really comes down to defining what that story is. If your story is saving the Earth from an asteroid, wow. Wow. That's a giant story. If your story is baking cupcakes, you know, we can have snippets. We can have a piece of that story in a single photo, but the entirety of the story has to happen over multiple images because stories happen over time. Now, that time may be a minute. It may be a week. It may be a year. It may be a lifetime, but it all depends on the story that you want to tell because the story is up to you. But it's still, every single story needs all of those elements to be an effective story. It needs that beginning, middle, and an end. We need a character. The character is the who. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. Who? Someone who we can connect to. We want to see them go through something. We don't want to see a story of somebody sitting on their couch reading a book for an hour and a half, not saying anything. That's not an interesting story. We want to see them go through something. We want to see Forrest Gump. We want to see, you know, the who of Forrest Gump. You know, Forrest Gump, he loves Jenny his whole life. And at the, you know, we're happy for him when they get together in the end. You know, but he's the who. He is what connects us to the story. The story is his. We need a setting, the when and the where. You know, even though throughout the entire movie or throughout the entire story, however you want to call it, Forrest Gump like travels the world, has all these incredible experiences, his home base, the pillar in his life. I know you're saying it right now. Greenbow, Alabama. That's the setting. We need a conflict. Otherwise, why are we invested in this story? The conflict is the what. Forrest doesn't know whether he's in love with Jenny or is just her friend, you know, because he clearly has feelings for her, but she clearly is trying to live a very different life than him. That's the conflict. We want them to get together. But she keeps making bad decisions. Come on, Jenny. What are you doing with your life? We want resolution. That's the how and the why. Forrest gave Jenny time, which allowed her the space to see how important Forrest was to her. Bringing her back to him. And despite Forrest asking Jenny multiple times to marry him and being turned down multiple times, she finally realizes Forrest is the guy for her, and she asks him to marry her.
Would you marry me, Forrest?
Now that story, like, it took place over a lifetime. But you get to choose the story, and you can make it a much shorter lifetime. But before you start, I want to encourage you to think about, you have to know the who, the what, when, where, why, and how. Who's in it? What's happening? When is this? Where is this? Why is this happening? How are they doing it? When you know what those elements are, this is what is going to bring you to the next step, which is incorporating the photographic elements to now enhance the impact of the story, right? If you've ever heard me say that learning how to use your camera isn't learning photography, that's just learning how to use the tool. It's not until you know how to use the tool that then you can start to learn photography. This is what I mean. This is what I mean. You have to know your camera settings. You have to know how to use light. You have to know when to use what composition and why. You have to know why you're making the decisions that you're making. You have to know how to make an impact with an image. You have to know how to communicate yourself through an image, through your camera settings. You have to be comfortable with your camera. And then once you're able to do that is when you're able to learn photography, which is storytelling, you know, and those photographic elements, the tool that you have in your hand, you have so many options at your disposal that you can now incorporate into it, because oftentimes you don't honestly, you know, control the whole story beforehand, but you do control what happens with the camera. You control your settings. You control your composition. You control light and color. You control the emotion or moment or timing, right? You don't control what emotion is given to you, but you can control what emotion it is that you capture through moment and timing. With your camera settings, you make decisions such as how much or how little is in focus. With your composition, you control where your viewer's eye goes or how a person is perceived. You know, are they small and insignificant, or are they like a towering figure? You're the one who controls that through your composition, through what you do with your camera. With light and color, you can build a visual aesthetic. Does the person only hang out in the shadows? Is what they're doing very mysterious, you know? Are they shady? Or are they the center of attention and want to be seen by everybody? Love the light. Love being in the light. And then you add the emotion, the moment, the timing. But you get to choose what you want your viewer to see, what you want your viewer to feel, what you want them to know. You get to control that with your camera. You capture the story. You may not be in control of what the story is, but you capture the story. So now that we know what makes up a story, the who, what, when, where, why, character, the setting, a conflict, and a resolution, and we know how to use our camera or what parts of our cameras we use to tell that story from our settings, our composition, light and color, and emotion/moment or timing. The next step is the most important one. It is to actually do it. It's also the hardest one, right? You have to actually do it. Now, if you still need help, you know, no worries. That's why I am here because I've got some ideas for simple exercises that you can do to practice your storytelling skills, okay? Because you are not a Academy Award-winning director. You can't expect that you're going to go out and tell this big, massive, epic story. You have to start with small, teeny, tiny stories. And then you grow from there. So that is exactly where we are going to start. And even if, like, you've done some of these before, they're still such a great refresher. They're such a great exercise to keep up with this skill that I still encourage you to do them and just dive deeper into them. Go deeper into them. So some examples that I have for you. You can try capturing a day in the life series, right? Let me start off by saying this. I want to continue on what I was saying about the whole, you're not an Oscar-winning director. Maybe you are. Maybe you're listening and you're an Oscar-winning director, in which case, like, thank you for listening to, I don't know why you'd be listening to this podcast. Anyway, Dan Milner, who has been on the podcast before, he says that to tell a good story, you need two things. You need time and you need access. You need time and access. He doesn't say you need a full frame camera. He doesn't say that you need, you know, to live in a tropical location or like a bustling city. He says that you need time and access. That's it. So again, don't start with a story that requires you to like go to a small village in Peru for a month. If you have like young kids and a job that is not time flexible, you know, pick smaller stories. Okay, pick smaller stories. So you can try to do like a day in the life series. Right. This day in the life doesn't have to be, the governor. It doesn't have to be some celebrity. It has to be somebody who you have time with and you have access to. Maybe that's your kid. Maybe that's your coworker. You know, I don't know. Like, you don't have to pick somebody who is a figure. You just have to choose somebody or something that you have access to and that you have time to dedicate to it. So this day in life series could be, you know, your kid getting ready for the day. Maybe it's the weekend, you know, and you bring your camera out. So it's, you know, your kid's getting ready in the morning. It's, doing a fun activity in the afternoon, everything that's involved in that, the getting ready, the actually doing it, the excitement. And then maybe even like winding down at the end of the day, reading a book together, playing a board game together, sharing a meal, and then like tucking them into bed, you know, create some sort of day in the life series like that you can do with your time and your access. Next idea is do a photo essay on like a local event that's happening. In my town, we have yearly, it's a brew fest that happens. A bunch of breweries come in and you can go and talk to them, brewing beer, having beer. There's like live music and it's a fun event, right? But I know before every event, it's like, we're going to show up. That's the beginning. We need to, you know, show off the characters, who's there. It's, you know, it's me, the neighbors, some friends. We have to show the setting. Oh, it's, you know, the signs that say, you know, Brewfest Day. the vendors that are there. We have to know what's going on. We show, you know, beer being poured, that beautiful amber glass, you know, that we see. There may not be necessarily a conflict. Maybe it's just an empty glass, but you're still telling a story of the things that happened that day, you know, and at the end of it, everybody goes home. We call an Uber, you know, we get ourselves home. We all have a good time, but you can still tell that story of a local event. It doesn't have to be, you know, them setting up in the morning to the last teardown and somebody like sweeping an empty, town square clean. It doesn't have to be anything like that. It can be much, much smaller. So if you're going to a local event, if you're going to a concert, if you're going to, you know, a farmer's market, any sort of activity or local event that's happening, you can capture that from your perspective. You know, another thing that you can capture is a family game or you know, a kid's sports game. My daughter is in softball and basketball. So there's so much that happens within sports that you can capture that will tell a story. Like, that is a great one. That is a great one. But when you're able to do these exercises and see what a small story looks like, and you actually build it, that not only gives you the confidence to continue going and telling stories, but it also shows you what is involved and how to scale any story to any size. Like I said, whether your story is 10 minutes long of your of making cupcakes, getting out the batter, putting it in a bowl, stirring it, putting it in the mold, putting it in the oven, patiently waiting, like looking in the oven to see if it's ready, the timer, you pulling the, you know, cupcakes out, you icing them, and then you taking a bite. Whether that's a 10-minute story, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. There's a character. There's a setting, conflict, and resolution. But also, like Forrest Gump, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end, and that takes an entire lifetime to tell. But when you tell small stories, you can figure out how to scale your small stories larger to tell, you know, the bigger stories that you want. And that is going to help you to develop a stronger sense of narrative. And that is such an important skill to have, such an important skill to have as a photographer with a tool that is designed to tell stories. And here's a note, okay? Because I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking about all these stories that you want to capture, and you're like, yes, I love it. Oh, but I got to get this lens. Oh, I love this story. Oh, but I would definitely need, you know, this sort of flash or this modifier or something like that. Don't think about the gear at all. I know that that's hard because every time you go on YouTube, there's like 14 videos of like the 7 pieces of gear I wish I had when I started out, or the, you know, the 4 worst pieces of gear to, you know, don't waste your money on. Like, all of these things, we're always thinking about gear. But when you give gear a thought, like when you give it that space to take up your ability to think about a story, you're taken away from that story. That brain energy is now being used to think about gear rather than your story, you know? And if your story has like, you know, a mix of, you know, digital photos, maybe some film, instant photos, you got some ultra wide shots in there, some really telephoto, you know, close-up shots. When you put all those photos together, it feels all over the place, all over the place. If you have a story, tell it with as little gear as possible and just make it work. Because the gear truly does become a distraction if you let it. But if you don't let it become a distraction, it won't be. And I know that sounds so simple, like it's oversimplified. But I've shared this before on the podcast. Maybe you've been through this as well. Whenever our family goes on like a trip, a vacation or whatever, I will bring as little gear as humanly possible. Even if that means that we're going to like a brand new place we've never been before, there's a high possibility of wanting to capture a bunch of different stuff. I bring as little gear as possible because I've been in situations where I bring all the gear. I want to be as best prepared as possible. Whatever could happen, I want to be prepared for it. But then like in the morning when it's time to go out for the day, and I got to choose, oh, what am I going to bring? I get such bad decision fatigue because, well, I'm not sure what situations we're going to encounter that day. Are we going to get wet? Well, then I got to bring the GoPro. Are we going to see some, you know, beautiful mountains or birds? Well, then I got to bring the telephoto lens. Oh, I also want to make sure that I get some, you know, standard photos of the kids, obviously. So I got to bring my 35. And you know what? This would be a great opportunity to shoot some instant film of like flowers. No matter what I bring, I will leave feeling like I didn't take full advantage of the situation. I will feel like, oh, I have all this stuff, but if I only brought that one other thing, I would have been set here. But if I only bring one camera, one lens, even if it's just a GoPro, when I go out to enjoy our trip and I'm shooting and I think to myself, huh, well, this is what I got. So I just got to do my best to make it work. And that's it. because I can't do anything else. I'm not going to buy another camera here. I'm not going to buy another lens. I just got to make it work with what I got. And when I immediately put a block to the gear, when I cannot think about gear, all my focus now goes onto the story of the trip rather than how to take the best photo. And I said it photo because when you're shooting a story, you need a series of images, not just one. If you have one photo, who cares if you have 10 portfolio worthy images if none of them link together as a story? Who cares? If you have limited kit, and you know what you're going to go out with, and you just do your best to make that work, there's going to be a cohesiveness about it. You're going to be thinking more about the story. So you're going to be thinking about those transitional elements that give us context rather than how do I make this one photo the best photo that it could possibly be, even though my kids aren't in the photo, even though there's no context as far as what's going on. It's just a bird. Nobody cares. In the context of a story, it doesn't work. It doesn't help out at all. You know, in the same way that like a director, we'll stay on this movie example. In the same way that a director doesn't just get people in front of a camera and yell action and hopes for the best, you can't do the same thing. You can't go out there and just wing it. If you want to transition from taking snapshots to telling stories with your camera, you have to know the story. You have to plan the story. You have to ask yourself, what are the important moments? What will the resolution look like? You need to do the same thing. That's exactly what a director does. It's all planned out before a single frame of a movie is shot. But you have to pick out that story. So that's what I encourage you to do, is pick out a story. If you know that you're going to a farmer's market with the family, that's your story. Okay? Take a moment to just jot down all of the important information. The who, the what, when, where, why, and how. So that you are clear on it. And then just brainstorm the, 5 to 7 photos that you would need to tell that story. And I understand that, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. You can't plan to capture the story of your kid hitting that walk-off, home run in the bottom of the 9th inning, winning the championship game. You can't plan that. But you do know that this event or this game is going to have to end. So there's going to have to be some sort of resolution, whether it's win or lose. And then that's how your story is going to end. So think about what both may look like and explore ideas for what you could capture to show that. So after you come up with your concept for a story, after you shoot it, you're not done, because now it's time to put it all together. You have to sequence your photos. Now, for your story, you might have, only taken 10 photos, or you might have taken 10,000 photos. But now is the time to narrow them down into a story. This is how stories are made. You know, when you think about a writer who's telling a story, like an actual story, there's a first draft, second draft, and then they keep whittling it down or adding things or changing things so that it becomes the best story that it can be. They don't just word vomit for like a week and then that's the book that goes out. You got to do the same thing. You have to capture, whatever you think might be important, and then whittle that down into the story that makes the most impact. One that when you flip through it, a viewer can follow along on what's developing. Your daughter with half a bagel hanging out of her mouth as she is tying up her cleats and grabs her softball bag. A photo of her in the car watching clips of other softball games on her phone as y'all are pulling into the parking lot for the field. A photo, she's running under the large banner that says, you know, state championships today, you know, so that she can catch up with her teammates that are up ahead. There are two ways to bring home more money with your photography business. You either get more clients or you spend less of the money that you make. CloudSpot Studio helps you keep more of what you earn. With the lowest payment processing fees in the industry, the average photographer will save $300 annually. And that's just more money to invest in essential gear like a new flash or a sweet camera bag. You know, one that is perfect for storing all of the wedding day snacks that you can pack. But it's not just about savings. CloudSpot Studio is designed to streamline your workflow. Easily organize shoots, send contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and you're really going to enjoy the hassle-free payments. So sign up for a free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com, and as a bonus, you're going to get access to my exclusive wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires at no additional cost. Why let fees chip away at your profits? Empower your photo journey with CloudSpot and watch your business soar. A photo of the coach giving the team like a pep talk as they're all stretching. The umpire brushing off home plate as one of the girls walks up to start the game. The look in the pitcher's eye as they figure out what they're going to throw with the whole team behind her in the outfield, down and ready for whatever's going to happen. A girl in the outfield running to catch the ball. You know, she's like looking back. She's tracking that ball like a hawk. Scoreboard shot, you know, I don't know, 4-5, eighth inning. There's a girl in the foreground, you know, waiting for the next hit. A girl at the plate just laser focused on the ball, waiting for the pitch. A big swing. A photo of, you know, the whole team of girls running out onto the field with excitement and joy. And then the final scoreboard, you know, 6-5. A day like this, you could easily take 10,000 photos. But your job is to sequence those photos to tell the story in the best way possible, you know? And again, this is so difficult. Like, I honestly think that, like, all the preparation to get to this point is not as important as the sequencing itself, because you don't want too many photos that your viewer gets bored, right? Like, what is happening? I remember in like fifth grade, there was a classmate of mine. I don't even remember where they went. They went on some sort of trip with their family. And when they came back, they had like a slideshow to show us. And there had to have been 200 photos. Even the teacher was like, okay, we get it. Like, this is enough. It's so long. You know, you don't want your viewer to get bored. Because I don't even remember where he went, but I remember being bored. But you also don't want too few photos that your viewer feels like they just don't know the whole story. It truly is a skill in and of itself. I mean, storytelling itself is challenging. And that's why I'm here to have these discussions with you. I want to bring these ideas to light for you. Because these are the things that are going to help you to become the photographer who you want to be. I know many of you right now are listening. Maybe you're at the gym. Maybe you're in the car. You can't write all these things down. Oh, beginning, middle, and end. Character. What was that next one? Right. So I put together a visual storytelling workbook for you to download for free. In it, I go more in depth into everything that we've talked about today. From a better understanding of storytelling, the elements needed to tell those stories, using composition, using perspective, using light, color, emotion, connection, and then, of course, sequencing your photos, and then even refining your story as well. So whether you're capturing, you know, these smaller, quiet moments or like big grand scenes, I want to help you to learn how to weave the emotion and the depth and this narrative into every frame. And you can do that, again, by grabbing your free copy of this visual storytelling workbook over at beginnerphotopod.com/storybook. Once you start viewing your surroundings, like with this storyteller's eye, like once you start seeing what's possible, It is so hard to stop. Maybe you experienced this in photography. Once you realize what you could do with your aperture and how you make, you know, your subject in focus, but the whole background out of focus, you start seeing the world a little bit different. Once you start seeing light and realizing, oh, when it comes from that direction, you get this beautiful glow and you see it in a different way. Once you start doing the same thing with story, it is so hard to stop. You see everything as a story that could be told. And starting off with these small vignettes, these small stories, will only help you to capture larger stories going forward. Now, once we capture these stories, what's next? You know, who cares? That's our job. We got to make people care. That's why it's so important to share your work. You know, sharing is a story's job is to make an impact, to teach a lesson. And if you don't share your photos, then they just can't make an impact. And luckily for us today, there are so many ways to share your story. Of course, there's social media. You could also post your images on a blog, on your website. You could make a video slideshow out of your images with something like Animoto. You know, you could print out the photos and frame them. You could make an album. But whatever it is, just try to consider how the story will be shared when you shoot it as well. You know, and honestly, for the first few stories that you shoot, share them in all the ways in which, you know, you can, just to see which you like the most or which ones make the most impact. And then which ones make or feel the most personal, because as time goes on, you can then filter out the things that you don't like and go deeper into the things that you do. If you like big, wide landscapes, if you like, very environmental photos that favor a wide angle lens, maybe sharing on social media isn't the best thing, because most people just consume it on a small screen. The photo isn't going to have as big of an impact. Maybe sharing that on your blog, where people have to see it on a large screen, or putting it in a print is going to be the best option for you. But again, as time goes on, you can filter out those things in which you don't like, so that you can go deeper into the things that you do like, that match your work, that make it feel so much more personal. You know, a director like Ridley Scott, you know, great at telling large visual stories. So making movies makes sense for him. A story like Blade Runner, that's not suited for a platform like Facebook, where you just kind of scroll through and just see what's new with people. So he found a medium that works for him. You know, that's what you got to do as well. Try out your story in different ways. And once you find a way that you can tell a story that you love, then you keep it up. And that's it. That's it for today. I hope that by now you've understood the importance of storytelling, that you've understood what goes into a story, and that you truly now understand that a story can be more than just a single photo, that you can compile images together into a narrative to tell a story. And that a story doesn't have to be the biggest story in the world. You are in control of what the story you want to tell is, no matter how big or how small the story is. And when you're just getting started, the smaller the story, the better. Again, that's it for this week. I hope that you enjoyed this one. I hope that this series is helping you to, again, truly understand how to envision your photographic potential by seeing what is out there. That's it for this week. Until next week, remember, the more that you shoot today, the better of a photographer you will be tomorrow. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.